Welcome to Torah Dimecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek 1. As we begin Sefer Yeshayahu, the first of the Nevi'im Achronim, the later prophets, we will now be learning these Sfarim in basically chronological order. The first of Yeshayahu's Nevuos predates Yirmiyahu's by over 100 years. Yirmiyahu begins a few decades before Yechezkel. The Treasar span this whole time period until after the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the end of prophecy. The Gemara in Baba Basra 14b states that the order of the Nevi'im should not be learned chronologically. First, we should learn Yirmiyahu, as its focus on destruction flows from the end of Malachim. Then Yechezkel should be learned, as it begins with destruction and ends with visions of the third Beis HaMikdash and redemption. This would neatly enter transition into Yeshayahu, which Chazal say is all consolation. The accepted practice is to learn the Sfarim in chronological order, which leads to some challenges when learning Yeshayahu, and what Chazal teach us has an important message for us as we begin to learn the Sefer. Yeshayahu's Nevuos, of which there are positive and negative Nevuos, are often vague, written in poetic allegories, and can be applied to a very narrow time frame, specifically the time frame of Chizkiyahu and the defeat of Sancheriv, or to many points in history. In contrast, the Nevuos of Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel are often explicit and provide depth to the narratives of Sefer Malachim. Part of the challenge and opportunity of learning Yeshayahu comes from its lack of specificity and context. By learning this Sefer first, in some ways we're at a disadvantage because we are missing some of the details that are fleshed out by the other Nevi'im. But this ambiguity can help us find meaning in the Sefer. Rav Schwab says that the many allegories and euphemisms in Yeshayahu won't make sense until the events unfold. This gives us space to make these words meaningful. Some of our understanding of this Navi will be filtered through our own recent experiences in Galus and our fervent wish for the sweetness of Geula. Sefer Yeshayahu has sections. The first 12 Prakim of Yeshayahu can be viewed as an arc, outlining both his generation's underlying character flaws, as well as a description of all of our underlying flaws. These flaws led those in the time of Yeshayahu, as well as us, to disconnect from Hashem. Yeshayahu describes how Hashem tries to reconnect to us, both in his generation and in all generations. Yeshayahu said Perek Aleph at a specific time to encourage the people of his time to do tshuva, but it is a nevuah that describes every generation. It is therefore appropriate to read it as the Haftorah, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. Most Mefarshim say that this was not Yeshayahu's first Nevuah. Rather, this Perek sets out a general theme of Musar, of rebuke for the Sefer. The first Pasuk gives us a brief background on the Navi, as is very typical for many of the Nevi'im. It begins, verse 1, Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amotz asher chaza al Yehuda v'al Yerushalayim. The prophecies of Yeshayahu, son of Amotz, who prophesied concerning Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Chazal say that when a pasuk lists the names of the Navi and it's his father, it means both that the father and son were Nevi'im. Yeshayahu was the son of Amotz, a Navi, who was the brother of King Amatziah. Yeshayahu was a member of the royal courts, in addition to being the child of a very spiritually elevated home. The Ibn Ezra tells us that Yeshayahu could be more critical of the elite because he was protected from revenge. In the future, Yirmiyahu will get tortured for similar messages. There are two kingdoms during Yeshayahu's life. The northern kingdom is called Yisrael, or Ephraim, and the southern kingdom is Yehuda, ruled by descendants of David. While Yeshayahu delivers a number of nevuos about other nations, just as Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel will do, his main focus is on Yehuda and Yerushalayim. There is a Navi Amos, who's a contemporary, who delivers the Nevuos concerning Yisrael during this time. The Nevuos took place in the days of Uzziyahu, Yosam, Achaz, Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda, four kings of Yehuda. We will assume that Yeshayahu's Nevuah began when Uzziyahu got Tzara'as, described in more in-depth in Perek Vav. Chazal tell us that Yeshayahu was killed by Menasha, son of Chizkiyahu. The time from the Tsaras of Uzziahu until the first year of Manasseh's reign was at least 86 years. Yeshayahu's long period of Nevuah had times of challenge and poverty, and also times of incredible wealth and stability for the people. The Navi begins speaking as if Hashem is talking. Banim Gidalti, I have raised children. I gave these children, namely the Jewish people, everything, food, clothing, and a land that others are jealous of. Romamti, and I raised them up. I did so much more than just provide their basic needs. I elevated their status by giving them the Torah and a culture that was meant to serve as an example for other nations. What was their thanks? Vehem pashu vi. They have rebelled against me. This pasuk encapsulates the root of the problems of all generations. When we look at the potential greatness of the Jew, says Rav Schwab, and then compare it to reality, it is devastating. The Jew is meant to bring the world to perfection. When we don't, we sink lower than even an animal. Yeshayahu says in Pasuk 3, Yada shor konehu, even an ox knows its owner. He knows who he is meant to work for and listens to his commands. The chamor evus ba'alav, and a donkey knows the feeding trough of his master. The donkey may not remember who is telling it to do work. It's not the most intelligent animal, but it knows who feeds it, and it doesn't kick the one caring for it. In contrast, the Jewish people chose not to understand or recognize who is behind all the gifts that we have. With a deep sigh, Pasuk 4, Hoi, woe, a phrase that is used often in Yeshayahu, Hashem describes what this nation has become as opposed to what it could have been. The holy nation, the nation of Hashem, became instead Goy Chote Am Kevet Avon, a sinful people, a nation burdened with sin. The Jewish people are the children, the seed of the righteous Avos, but they became Zerem Re'im, seed children who do evil. And these people who are called the children of Hashem have changed to be Banim Mashchisim, depraved children. We have rebelled against Hashem and his Kedusha, neither serving him from love or fear. Yet Hashem does not want to give up on our relationship. He punishes the Jewish people in the hope that the Jewish people will change, but it has no impact. Pasuk 5. Al meh suku od tosifu sara. For what purpose were you hit? For what purpose have Hashem punished you? Yeshayahu says. You continue to stray more and more. Yeshayahu uses a mashal to describe what is going on. He says that the Jewish people have both their head and heart that is deeply ill. A brain tumor, Rachman al-Islam, can be a hidden disease, and the person can function while it's there until it eventually impacts all of their functioning. When a person has heart disease, he can't even walk up the stairs. Klal Yisrael had both. Their heads and their hearts are damaged. But somehow, with all these injuries, they keep going like zombies. It is as if the Jewish people are wounded from head to toe, but they don't want to do anything to treat all these injuries. Yeshayahu explains his mashal in Pasuk 7. Hashem causes problems in people's lives in the hopes that they will seek a spiritual solution. Yehuda is very sick at this point. They have lost political independence. The cities are burnt. The harvest of the fields have been looted, and the land is overrun by invading armies, destroying everything as they march. Yet Yehuda does not reflect on these changes in their national or personal lives, and they keep with the same behavior. Instead, Bas Tzion, a name before Yerushalayim, is going to be abandoned because when they don't fix their spiritual illness, they will be exiled. The Navi compares Yerushalayim to temporary structures to show how abandoned she will be. She's compared to a guard's hut in a vineyard or a lodge in a farmer's field that are used for shelter only during the harvest season and then abandoned. Yerushalayim is also compared to soldiers who leave their tents when they move on, leaving the place a ghost town. This is Yerushalayim's future. If people do not change, despite all the messages that the Nevi'im are sending them that they should. Yeshayahu says that really, Hashem should destroy Yerushalayim completely at this point, as he destroyed Sodom and Amorah, because the city is equally as immoral. However, unlike Sodom and Amorah, Hashem will never destroy the Jewish people completely. Hashem ensures that there is always, Pasuk 9, a sarid kim'at, a small remnant, a small group of tzaddikim who cling to the Torah, who can rebuild Torah society after every destruction. Having established what will be the eventual result, galus, Yeshayahu wants us to understand the character flaws that led to this devastation. The problems begin with the leadership. He calls the elite of Yehuda in Pasuk 10, Kitzinei Sodom, the rulers of Sodom, meaning the leadership of Yerushalayim is corrupt. The corruption then filtered to the nation, who act like the people of Amora. The people of Yehuda are shocked by this criticism that they're being compared to Sodom and Amora. They are good, fine people. They go to shul, they bring karbanos, they give tzedakah. What were they doing wrong, they demand. Yeshayahu tells them how Hashem views their spiritual level. Pasuk 11, Lamali rov zevchechem, why do I have so many of your karbanos? The nation enjoys acting like righteous individuals, but really, it's all superficial. These rituals are an easy way to quiet their guilty conscience. Karbanos are not performative theater. The blood and the meat are meant to make an impact. They are meant to make a person think that he should be in place of the karban. A karban without feeling is worthless. Yeshayahu continues for emphasis in Pasuk 12, Ki savau le'ra'os panai, when you come to see my face, when the nation ascends the Har Habayis in a showy display of devotion, this is not what Hashem wants. At this point, they are just remos chatzerai, tramplers of my court, causing wear and tear instead of accomplishing anything positive. The pilgrimages do not reconnect Hashem to his people, which was what their goal was. They are viewed as insults by Hashem. The lack of sincerity makes all their kabanos, Pasuk 13, minchas shav, worthless offerings. The visit to the Beis HaMikdash during the special times, Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov, meant to infuse the year with a connection to Hashem, are Pasuk 14, Hayu alai latorach. They are just a burden to me. This lack of connection also helps when we try to connect to Hashem individually with our tefillah, with our prayers. Pasuk 15, Ki sarbu sefila eneni shomea. Though you pray at length, I am not listening. These sentiments are shocking and disturbing. Why are all the spiritual efforts viewed as performative rather than sincere? The answer is, Yedechem damim maleu. Your hands are full of blood. The reason that Hashem regards the people as hypocrites is because they exploited and hurt the vulnerable. When a person hurts another, it prevents all karbanos and tefillos from reaching Hashem. The people need to do tshuva to change its trajectory. The first step is Pasuk 16, Chidlu Hareya, stop doing evil. Next, Yeshayahu continues, Pasuk 17, Limdu Hetev, learn well. Says Rosh Schwab, after stopping to do the obvious wrong things, one must learn Torah to know what are the proper values. Finally, Dir Shu Mishpat, seek justice. The Torah learning must be put into practice where we live according to the values of Torah through justice and by helping the oppressed and vulnerable. Yeshayahu promises that these teshuva efforts will help. Pasuk 18. Im yu chataechem kashanim kashelag yalbinu. If your sins are like scarlet, if they're as dark red, they will become white as snow. Im yadimu katola katsemer yiyu. Though they are red like crimson, they will become a paler white, like wool. Yeshayahu brings a mashal that many at the times were familiar with. Once a year, a red string would be hung by the Beis HaMikdash. When they did the service of Yom Kippur and did tshuva, the string would turn white. If the people would do tshuva now, Hashem will forgive them, just as is done each year on Yom Kippur. The future, Yeshayahu teaches, is up to the people. Their actions will decide what happens to the lands of Israel. With the broad outline of the issue and the solution, Yeshayahu returns to the present and emphasizes Pasuk 21, Echa, how this change has happened to the Kiryat Ne'emana, the faithful city that now serves idols. How could the city that had exemplary civil laws, that was Milesi Mishpat, filled with justice, become the Atam Ratzachin, now full of murderers? Yeshayahu teaches that the root of the problem, one of the roots of the problem, was that Pasuk 22 Your silver has become dross. Your wine was mixed with water. The nation became inauthentic and dishonest. They misrepresented their merchandise. They weighed out silver that was actually an alloy of silver and dross and sold wine that had been watered down with water. They used money set aside for holy purposes for material pleasure. What looked good on the surface was rotten inside, driven by a focus on self, money, and pleasure. The lure of materialism made the leadership turn a blind eye to corruption. They would not help the most vulnerable in society, the widow and the orphan, because incompetent and compromised judges did not care about truth, only about pleasure. Verse 24, Lachin, therefore this society needs to be punished so that there can be change and things can become sincere again. Says Hashem Ha'adon, who is the master of everything in the world, Hashem Tzvakos, who controls everything on heaven and earth, Avir Yisrael, and is the ultimate source of power. Hashem will punish the people to cure them of their problems. He will remove their impurities by using the means necessary to refine the people back to the pure silver they were meant to be before they started to corrupt their essence. In a society that had become so used to bribery and corruption, verse 26, Hashem will restore judges and advisors. When there are once again honest judges, Yerushalayim will once again be called Kiryah Ne'mana, a faithful city. For only when there is justice will we be worthy of redemption. Pasuk 27, Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh. Tzion, Yerushalayim, will be redeemed with justice when the Rusha'im are held accountable, v'shaveha v'tztaka, and its returnees with charity. Those who do tshuva and give tzedakah will be saved because they used their material wealth for mitzvos. In the times of the Geula, after this time of justice, people will be embarrassed of their former poor choices. They chose to invest in Elim, Pasuk 29, which are either trees used for idolatry or luxuries bought with ill-gotten gains, and in gardens. Everyone will see in the times of the Geula how worthless these investments were in comparison to how they could have spent their money. In the final pasuk in the parak, Yeshayahu turns to the Rishayim and tells them that even the strongest among them and their work will be destroyed. The Rishayim will be completely destroyed in this world and the next. Oppressing others will just result in their destruction, and they will not have the power they had hoped. In this parak, Yeshayahu warns the people that they will lose everything because they prioritize materialism and power over sincerity and service of Hashem. Those who persist in their sins will see they and their land devastated. Those who do tshuva will be redeemed. In the end of days, those who do tshuva will have Hashem's help. Those who do not will be destroyed. A lesson of this parak is that what disconnects people from Hashem is a lack of honesty and integrity. Humanity will always be drawn to materialism and pleasure. It's part of our nature. But we must not let those values drive our choices, because then we corrupt all that is good in our lives. This path will lead us away from Hashem. The formula in this parak is clear. First, we must stop doing things that are obviously wrong. Next, we need to learn Torah to ensure that our values have not been corrupted. Finally, we must put those values into practice by acting with truth and charity. These values will bring us to Geula, to our redemption.
Thank you for learning together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bas Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.